embedding revolution or evolution by Marcin and Roberto. And if I didn't say your word, your names properly, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Welcome. Today we'll be talking about the remarkable features of multi-vector embedding models, and we'll try to answer if it's a revolution or just an evolution. So my name is Marcin Antos, and I'm a WIVI core engineer, and I'm on a daily basis I'm working on an open source AI-first vector database called WIVI8.
I'm Roberto. I'm a research engineer, and I'm part of the applied research team, and I have experience on approximate nearest neighbor search and compression.
So we'll start with explaining what are the types of the embedding models out there in the market. Then we'll show how those models are being used with vector databases. We'll end with going into explaining how Movera multi-vector encoding algorithm is changing the way we are working with multi-vectors. And our presentation will change with, will end with a short demo. So embedding models are the ones, and models which have only one task, and that task is to create a vector representation of the processed input. So, for example, when we are sending some sentence into it, we are getting back an embedding, a vector of a given dimensionality. All of the modern embedding models are trained with Matryoshka reinforcement learning technique. It means that during the learning process, we are using multiple loss functions, and that results in a model that is able to output embeddings of varying dimensionalities. Before that method, we will have to train one model per each dimensionality. So when you're starting your journey with AI, perhaps you're building some RAG pipelines, you're most certainly using open models that are like from OpenAI or Google or Cohere that are returning regular embeddings. But there is also another family of embedding models. They are called multi-vector embedding models. The difference is that for a process input, we are getting back an array of vectors, an array of so-called token level embeddings. And as you can see here, we are working with a multi-vector, not with one vector, and that also makes it a little bit harder for us to calculate similarity metric for those embeddings. So because we have to take into account all token level embeddings for each of the query and document, and we have to calculate a similarity metric for each of the pairs and then pick the highest results and sum them. This is then our similarity score, our maxim score. The formula which we are using in order to find the similar multivectors is called maxim formula. And maxim is a basis for late interaction. Late interaction means that when we are working with multivectors, we don't have to pull them into one vector and then calculate some similarity metric, but we can just work with those arrays of vectors. The coolest family of multi-vector embedding models are the multi-vector vision embedding models, those that understand text and images, like Kolpali, Kolquen, Kolnomik. This image is taken from the Kolpali paper. You can see that there is an example of the standard retrieval. When you're working with a complex document, when you want to index that data, you have to first perform some layer detection. You have to find where are the images, where are the texts, then extract them separately. Then, of course, you have to preprocess the text, I mean, chunk it, and then you can calculate some embeddings. But with multi-vector vision embedding models, you can treat a page as one image and then send that image of a page over to that model. Then the model, what it does, it takes the image and divides it into small squares, and for each square of the of that image, it calculates a token level embedding. So then when we are sending, for example, a query, which also gets translated into a multi-vector, and when we calculate those similarity metrics for each of those token level embeddings pairs, and we project that results in form of a heat map over the image, you will see that the most relevant and highlighted parts of the, of our query, and our query was which hour of the day had the highest overall electricity generation in 2019, those parts are highlighted. And this is the way how we can visualize how those multi-vector vision embedding models are able to see what is on the picture. So when to use those models? They are best used with visually rich documents, with screenshots and presentations. Now Roberto will go over how those models are being used with vector databases.
Thank you, Martin. So here we have two pictures of two cute dogs. And what you can see is that we have the vector representation of our image. And as Martin just said, we can have those vector representation regardless of the modality of our data. So let's say you also have text or videos, you can create those embeddings, and similar data or semantically similar data will have similar vectors. So here we have a pre-trained machine learning model, which is just an embedding function. And as you can see here, we have several dots, which are vectors. Here we are just in a three-dimensional space. And for example, meat and chicken, that are quite similar, are close in this vector space. And here you have also apple and banana, so you have this area with fruit. So let's suppose you have your own data, for example, a collection of wines. You will be computing the embedding of your data, so either it's image or text, you will be computing the embedding, and here you need a vector DB to store those data. Because whenever you have a query, you want to search in an efficient way the most similar vector. So let's suppose your query is wine for seafood, you will be computing the embedding of your query, and then you will use the vector DB to search the top K elements. So for example here, Chardonnay wine. There are like several types of vector indexes. For example, Weavit currently supports HNSW and Flat Index. HNSW is a fully in-memory index and graph-based, and Flat Index is just exhaustive search, so you are computing all the distances. On top of them, you can also have quantization. Quantization is a technique that allows you to compress the memory for those vectors, because by default, you are using floating point in 32 bits, and this can be expensive. So you can use those quantization like PQ, BQ, SQ, or RQ. They have different trade-offs. So for example, if you are compressing more, you will be losing more information, but you are saving more memory. On the other hand, if you will be compress less, you will have still high quality results. But today we will focus on HNSW with multivector, specifically with Movera. And before jumping into it, here there is like an example of how HNSW works. So HNSW stands for Hierarchical Navigable Small Word Graph. And as you can see here, we have just three layers. And in each layer we have nodes. And whenever we have to perform a search operation, we will start from the topmost layer, and we will be computing the distances in that layer. Once we find the closest vector, we will go on the next layer, and so on, until we reach layer 0, where we will be in a local region, and we will be looking for the most similar vectors. So let's jump into Movera. Movera is a research paper that has been released from Google Research Group almost 3 years ago. And the idea here is to encode those multivector that Marcin described before into single vector that are called FDE, fixed dimensional encoding. Why we want to do this? Because like, if you want to compute similarity with multivectors, this can be very expensive. It's quadratic in the number of vectors you have. And the idea of Movera is that given two FDE, so two single vector, you will be, when you're computing the dot product between those two vectors, you will have an approximation of the maximum score. And dot product can be efficiently computed because it can be highly optimized using, for example, SIMD instruction. So the main steps of Movera are three. You have the space partitioning one, dimensionality reduction, and repeat of first and second steps. For each of them, you have a parameter, which is ksim. It's telling you how much you want to divide your space. Dimensionality reduction, use dproj. By default, it's 16. And then the number of repetition, which by default is 10. So let's suppose you have the following multivector. You have you have 5 vectors, and each of them has dimensionality 128. If you are using, for example, HNSW without Movera, you have to add all those vectors just for one document. So this can be expensive because HNSW is fully in memory, so this can bring the cost up. So the first one is the space partitioning, and here we are using a technique that is called C-mesh, and it's based on locality-sensitive hashing. So in other words, you are based on KSIM, which in this case is 3, you are sampling 3 random Gaussian vector, and whenever you want to find a corresponding cluster for a vector, so for example for vector 1, you will be computing the dot product between vector 1 and those 3 Gaussian vector, based on the sign of the dot product. So for example, for V1 you have all negative values, you will encode it in 0, 0, 0, which is cluster 0. For example, for vector 5, in this case, you may have that the first 2 dot products were negative, the third one was positive, so the encoding will be 0, 0, 1, and you add it to cluster 1. Here you could also use k-means. The main difference is that k-means requires training, and in this way you can do partitioning without having any training data, and it's also data obvious. So in this case, if you have k-sim equal 3, you can end up with 8 clusters. So what you will be doing then is to just flatten them. In case you have more than one vector in a cluster, you will be applying mean pooling. So for example, for cluster 0, you have V1 and V4, so we will be just compute the mean for each entry. Then you have cluster 1 with just one vector, and as you can see, we have some empty clusters. The next step is the filling the empty cluster. So for example, for those that are empty, we are substituting those zeros with the closest non-empty cluster. So for example, in this case, for cluster 2, the closest non-empty is cluster 1. So we reported here also the same for cluster 3. For 5, the closest one was V3. As you can see, the length of this vector is number of clusters times dim, so 8 times 128. So what we want to do in the second step, the dimensionality reduction, we want to shrink those vectors. So we will have the vector coming from the previous operation. And here we will be using random matrices that are made of plus 1 and minus 1. In this case, we have that the dimensionality is dim times dproj, so 128 times 16. So that when you'll be computing the vector matrix operation, you will end up with a new cluster of smaller dimensionality, in this case, dproj. And you will be just concatenating them. So the new resulting vector will be number of clusters times 16, not anymore 128. As you can see, we have done some approximation here and in the previous steps. So in order to reduce the randomness coming from those approximations, we will repeat this process several times. So which are the pros of Movera, and is it worth to use it? Actually, if you are dealing with a lot of documents, now we will see, for example, in the demo, we are dealing only with one document, but we will see how many vectors we will end up. So let's suppose you are working with hundreds of thousands of documents. You need some sort of filtering approach. So you can use Movera with HNSW in memory to create a candidate set, and then you can rescore those values. But the benefit of Movera so are the first one, the improved import times. You just need to preprocess those vectors and store them in HNSW. Then you have reduced memory requirements, because if you have to build HNSW in this case, you would have like 5 nodes, and for each of them you have also to find the connection. In this case, it's just 1 node, and you find the corresponding connection. Then one cons is clearly the worst recall, but this can be fixed with rescoring. So you will be using Movera to build the candidate set. And only for those vectors, you will be reading from disk the original multivector and compute the maximum score. But now it's time for a demo.
Yeah, thank you, Roberto. So for today, you have prepared a demo. If you want to run it locally, here's the link to the project. We'll be using Weaviate to store the multi-vector embeddings and Colquen 2.5 Kolber vision model. So let's first load the model. As you can see here, we have 2 methods. One is for used for vectorizing the image, and the second one we will use for to vectorize the text. All of those methods are outputting a multi-vector. We'll try to index this document. You can see that this is like an NVIDIA investor presentation. It's a very complex document. It consists of texts and images, also with mixed some with some charts. The idea here is to treat this one page as a as an image, and one page will be our one chunk, and then send that image page image over to the Qualcomm model to get the multi-vector embeddings, and then store them in Weavit and try to find something on those pages. So yeah, so the model was loaded. Now this is a helper method which we will use to generate the embeddings. Let's start Weavit. Let's try to connect to it. Let's wait if it's running. Yeah, it's running. So first we need to create a collection. We are creating a collection with one property, page number. And the most important part is here that we are defining a vector index, a multi-vector vector index, and we are enabling here Movera encoding. It means that when we will be sending multi-vectors to Weavit, those will get translated automatically to FDEs using Movera algorithm. So let's create a collection. Let's generate the embeddings for our document. And now you can see here that we have 32 pages. And for each page we have generated a multi-vector that consists of 731 token level embeddings. So in total for 32 pages, we have over 23,000 vectors. But with Movera, those 23,000 vectors will get translated only into 32. So we can see how massive the reduction is on the resources. So let's save those multi-vectors into Weavit. And now here's another helper method. I will use that method to generate the query using the Qualcomm model. So the query will be passed to it. It will generate a multi-vector. And then I will use this multi-vector in order to perform a vector search, and I will just present the first result. So let's look for a list of countries using AI. You can see that I got a page which is like a world map, and there are those countries that, yeah, that's something that I was looking for. Let's look what is NVIDIA's infrastructure roadmap. Maybe there's an information about that. Of course it is. So I just wanted to make a point that those multi-vector embedding models are good also with pages that consist only of text. And of course, they are really good with mixed content. So let's make another request, revenue and income charts. You can see that we got a page that is describing exactly what we are searching for. I think that would be very hard to achieve using regular embedding models because it's really hard to extract that data. So let's make two last queries, first in Italian and the second one in Polish. And we'll be asking first, what are the industries that will benefit the most from AI? You can see that we got a page that describes those industries. And the last one, what are the plans for dividends? And you can see that in 2025, there will be over $300 million dividends. So you can see those models are also really good with multilingual data. So.
Thanks, Marcin, for your demo. So we have just seen how we can build an AI-powered OCR pipeline, and the steps are pretty simple. The first one is the extraction of the document page using just like converting it to an image. Then we use a multi-vector embedding vision model to create those vector. And then we can store them in a VectorDB using the Movera encoding, and then you are ready for your semantic search. So if you liked our presentation, you can connect with us. And also, if you are interested in more details about Movera, we have a blog post, and also we have a podcast episode with one of the author of the paper. Thank you for your attention. Yeah, actually, this is a good question. So the question was, which is our device for the parameters of Movera? So by default, we are using KCM equal 4, the projection equal 16, and the number of repetition time equal 10. So in this case, the dimensionality of the vector will be 10 times 16 times 2 to the power of 4. And as you can see, this is a longer vector with respect to, let's say, the regular one, which are just 128. So in this case, I would say it really depends on your data distribution. So for example, if you have more visually rich documents, like where you have charts and tables, you may want to have them to be accurate as much as possible, so you can increase those parameters. And actually, something that you can also do on top of them, the resulting vector that you get, the EFD, is uncompressed. But if you want, you can also use quantization. Like, I would not suggest for BQ, which is shrinking a lot, the data dimensionality, but most probably RQ or SQ fit well here, where you are just going from 4 bytes for entry to 1 byte for entry. Yes?
Do you benchmark against using standard embedding and vector search as the first pass and then the latent fraction as the second pass?
Also, this is a good question. So the question is if we have tried any benchmarking in doing the first stage retrieval with single vector and then the second one with multivector, right? Okay, so actually we have also tried something like this. Personally, I didn't see any big, benefit in doing this. Personally, I think the main challenge here will be to deal with those chunking technique, because personally what I prefer more about this type of approach is the simplicity. Because if you are just going with a, let's say, regular approach, you also have to do like these steps in chunking and layout detection. Instead, in this case, you can just focus on like one multivector per page. Okay, so the question is how this compares to HNSW with just multivector and also with single vector, right?
Well, no. One of them is the multivector approach, which is basically just having one label. You have a common label among multiple vectors.
So do you mean like a filtered search? Like each label then it's used for as filter, or? Okay, so in that case, you are also doing, building a candidate set for those vectors, and then you will be computing the rescoring. So for example, in this case, maybe you have that two or more nodes of the HNSW are part of the same document, right? So they are just two vectors. Okay, yeah, so for this, yes, actually, we also have support for this, where if you don't pass the Movera encoding, you can use this. And personally, I think this is a slightly better quality, but the main cons of this is the memory pressure, because, for example, in this case, you have seen you have 700 nodes for just one chunk. So creating the HNSW, since it's fully in memory, can be expensive from a... That's true, but you still need memory for the connection, because if you either you are using BQ or are using uncompressed, you still, for example, have the M parameter, which is ruling you how many connection you are you have for each node. So that can be still expensive, but yes, we have support also for this. You can use regular. For the multimodal one, we have done also some experiments on this. Personally, I didn't find any big benefits in using those approaches compared to just either HNSW with multivector or with HNSW with multivector and Movera.
Does the
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong, the question is, can we, let's say, use this idea of converting multi-vector in single vector, and we do it in the embedding model, so we just work with single vector. Okay, so yes, this is something that can be done, and I think it's effective, because when you are doing the training of this embedding model, you will improve the quality. So that's something I think will definitely benefit.
I can add to that. There are document screenshot embedding models that are actually doing that. They are creating one vector out of the multi-vectors, and they are just, you know, sending you back that one vector. And yeah, it's possible with those types of models. I actually didn't try that, but...
So if I understood correctly, your question is how do we handle those tables, because we are working with patches, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So actually, what you can do is to have some sort of overlapping with patches. We did not try, but I'm pretty sure this will help the benefit. So you have some overlapping between each patch, so you can, let's say, not lose as much as just doing four, let's say, straight squares. Oh, actually, something like this specifically, I did not test it.
Third question. Okay, thank you very much. So, room rule, if you want to get out, this door, more than that one, that's for entering, this is for going out.